You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 148 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, April 9th, 2018, and I'm here in Kansas City. My name is J.R. Cook, and with me today is the rest of the crew. I'm going to give a little introduction here. First of all, from, what is it, Nashville, Rhode Island? Is that right, Danny?
Close enough, JR. Nashua, New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah. God. Nashville, New Hampshire, right? Is that a place?
Nashua.
Oh, okay.
Close. Close.
Almost there.
Except not really close at all, actually. You get no points.
Oh, wait.
You get partial credit. The teacher gives you a partial credit. You don't get the A plus, you get the B minus.
Okay. I think I had a mistake here because the other guest that you're hearing here, I think he's the one that's from Nashville, Rhode Island. That's Ray C.
Come on, man. Nashua, New Hampshire was on The Office.
Was it?
Actually, yeah.
I thought that was in Pennsylvania.
It was, but they, like, so the girl that the main character, like, falls in love with is from Nashua, so he went there a bunch, like, in the show.
Oh. Okay, so that's what you guys are famous for, like, a little offshoot of The Office, which I guess it's a real place.
Yeah, The Office is, like, Scranton is a real place. I have friends that live there.
Do they work there? Do they work there in The Office?
I mean,
at Dunder Mifflin, yes.
Yeah, dude. Yep.
Anyway, that's Danny and Ray. Danny, I'm gonna start with you though, man. What's how's your week been?
Good. Oh, it's the eve of Witchwood. Not technically the eve of Witchwood. It's Monday night right now, but maybe for our viewers, it's the eve of Witchwood. So, I'm super excited.
Yeah. Have you done anything fun this week, or are you just super excited for Witchwood and that's it? You're just like, you just go to sleep and you're just like, I just need to get through these next few days because Witchwood's coming.
I've been memeing around on the ladder, but nothing serious. Current wild meta has been Paladin City for the past couple of weeks, so it's interesting. Actually, a new deck popped up recently that's like, it's Egg Paladin, where you're running Nerubian Egg. So, like, it's a little bit more resilient against board clears. It's pretty crazy. But, yeah, lots and lots of Paladins.
Yeah. So, how about you, Ray? I know you've been super busy this last few days, in this last week.
No, I've been sitting at home on my computer just staring at the screen, waiting for the Witchwood to come out, not moving at all, not even blinking.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
No, I'm just kidding. This weekend I went to PAX East. I actually met a bunch of people who came up and said they listened to the podcast, which was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. It was a great event. Unfortunately, It was pretty funny. This guy I played in the first round, he goes, "Hey, I listened to your podcast. It's awesome." And then he proceeds to just like destroy me. I'm just like, I was like, I'm glad it helped.
do you have his name? Because maybe we can get him to give you some coaching lessons.
Oh my god. JR, please. I thought I didn't have to put up with this anymore once John left. No, I'm just kidding. His name was Azorius Scrub. I think that's what it was. Azorius. It might have been Cover Scrub. I don't really remember which one. But yeah, he destroyed me in the first round. Then after that, I lost to Lead Paint, and it was on stream. And the people casting, like Saiyan and Austin, were just like, "Yeah, that's Hearthstone." Like, Barnes on 4 happened a couple times, and yeah, it wasn't fun. It was not fun for me. But
hey, you must be excited for which wood to come and Barnes to rotate out.
Oh, I am. I found out that I made playoffs today. They announced the standings. I was like 50s, like low 50s, I think.
Oh, nice.
It's top 64. So the difference between like top 8 or something and like the rest is nothing. So if Miggy make it, I made it. So I'm really happy about that. I did still have a good weekend overall at PAX. I got to meet a lot of new people.
You got to meet Ben Brode.
I got to talk to Ben Brode. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm about to get to there is I got to meet and talk to Ben Brode on behalf of Well Met and Blizz Pro, which was really it was an amazing experience. I never really had a good conversation with him until after that interview. Like, after, this wasn't, like, recorded or anything, so you didn't hear it, but we just talked for, like, a half hour after the interview, and he's just a really nice guy. But the interview itself, like, it was so, like, funny to me, because the person who manages Ben just kept, like, bugging us about playing the demo for the Witchwood that they had prepared for us, and me and Ben just, like, ignored her the whole time and just kept talking. I did not play the Witchwood at all. I didn't touch any of the new cards. I just talked to Ben Brode for an hour.
Now, to be fair, the PR person, Cassandra, she's a really nice person. And she's just doing because they get a lot of press in there at PAX East that aren't necessarily like hardcore like Hearthstone websites or Blizzard websites. They get a lot of general video game stuff that may not know a lot about Hearthstone. They may have never gotten to play it before or something like that. And that's probably what she was doing.
Oh yeah. I just thought it was like funny. That dynamic that happened where she was like, "Wait, you don't want to play the demo? That's not a thing that's happened before."
And well, it's the game comes out in like 5 days. I can play it then. I don't get to talk to Ben Brode every day.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Like, it's not every day you get to talk to Ben Brode. I can play the Witchwood every day in a week, but I can't do that with Ben Brode.
Was it pre-constructed decks too? You were probably only allowed to use those.
I don't know. I didn't touch it. There was a computer and they had iPads and I just like did not touch it, and the people that I was with like could have played as well, but they were just seemed really into like talking to him as well, and I felt like it was a more unique experience than a lot of the other people probably had, since the other people were mainly just playing the demo most of the time, and like it was kind of like a show where like Ben goes through the demo and like explains all the cards and the new mechanics and stuff like that, but since I already knew that, I kind of like steered the experience in a different direction, and the other people that were with us just didn't bother to go over to the demo and kind of just talked with us as well.
Yeah,
which was cool.
Yeah, we'll go over that.
I also love that.
Yeah, we'll go over that interview here in a little bit too, just like some of the things that we learned from it. As well. You also got to play in a Tempo Storm thing, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that was before I left PAX. I've actually had a really busy week. I played in this Tempo Storm expansion tournament where we drafted expansions. It was me, Chalky, Ant, and Just Saiyan. We drafted expansions, and then we built decks out of the expansions that we drafted, but we only had 2 hours to build the decks. So I got invited last minute. I got invited at like midnight the night before because somebody dropped out. I think it was Firebat, or I think Sato was casting it. He dropped out, and then Firebat moved to casting instead of playing. So I got to play, and I had no experience. I learned about the format, like, right before I played in it. They had already been practicing. Like, they had a very clear strategy. Like, you could tell that they knew what they were doing going into it, where I turned on my stream because they said that they encouraged streaming during the deck building process so you can talk about why you're building XYZ. But instead of me talking about why I'm building XYZ, I turned on my stream and I said, Twitch chat, please help me. I have no idea what I'm doing. And they helped me. That was actually really a lifesaver. If I wasn't allowed to stream that, I would have had terrible decks. But Twitch chat definitely helped me, like, remember certain cards that I was forgetting. Because you know how you, like, sometimes build decks and you know what you want to build, and then you just forget something super obvious somehow.
Right.
Like missing Malygos and Malygos Rogue.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've done that more than once.
Oh, I thought you were referring to a time I've done that, because that sounds like something I would do.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You ended up going to the finals, though, right?
Yeah, it was crazy, man. I lost first round to Just Saying. I barely lost. I think that my decks were just much worse. My lineup. No, I don't think my decks were bad. I think my lineup was bad. But I ended up beating Ant after losing to Just Saying, and then I ended up beating Just Saying the second time I played him because I knew what his decks were. So I don't really know how I pulled that out, man. Like, Danny watched it, and I don't really know how I won half of those games. It was crazy. It was a really strong set of games from me.
Yeah,
I was proud of myself.
Both Just Saying and Chalky both, like, heavily teched against Paladin, putting double Blood Knight in every single one of their decks.
Mm.
So that sneaking out the win with the Paladin was really how you got through against Just Saying.
It was weird, though, because he was playing Big Mage, or he's, like, playing, like, a Freeze Mage that seems super anti-Paladin. So I don't really know how I won that at all. Like, I know I won, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know what point in the game I started to take the lead, just because it was so... It was just so weird.
And then, was... I think the biggest takeaway that you probably took from that tournament was don't let... In that format, don't let someone take Kobolds and Catacombs and Frozen Throne and all of the new sets together as their pool.
Yeah, I mean, Chalky tweeted, all these other players are playing 4D chess, and I'm just here trying to play standard. And he won, so that goes to show the power creep that Hearthstone has had.
Right. And like I said, I think if you allow someone to get everything that was kind of in a year cycle, like, those cards feel like they should have really good synergy together because they were built within that, you know, year with that synergy in mind.
Right, which they did, and mine decks didn't, and I got destroyed. Yeah. In the finals, though.
To be fair, though, like, those decks that he was playing, like, were very, very close to the standard decks. I bet you could have come up with some decks that completely, like, destroyed them, but the format wasn't as, like, refined to that stage yet. Like, this is the first time you're playing with that. So sticking with things that are, like, known is definitely a good concept in a format like that.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I did do that on some degree. It's just they were prepared for that. I feel like they kind of knew that I would have no practice in it and that Ant would probably stick to something more aggressive. So it was they literally played double Blood Knight in every deck and stuff like that. It was pretty cheese.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I really enjoyed that tournament, man.
Yeah, it was a blast. I think I would have really enjoyed that too. That seemed like a pretty fun one.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that format when we do the Well Met tournament, when tournament mode comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be cool.
I'd be down, or we could make, like, our own thing, whatever it is. I don't know what our thing would be, but
yeah, we'll figure it out when it comes to that point.
Yeah.
No, as for me, there's a couple quick things. Danny and I were on a podcast this past week. We got interviewed by the Daring Reporter podcast, which is a Hearthstone podcast about Hearthstone podcasts. And and it was a pretty fun interview. I really enjoyed talking with those guys. And if you're interested in that, just go look up the Daring Reporter podcast and listen to their latest episode and listen to me ramble on while I only had about 3 hours of sleep. That was pretty fun. The other thing is on April 28th, which happens to be my birthday, if you're in the Kansas City area, we're having the Kansas City Firesides group thing at the Alamo Draft House here in Kansas City. And we're doing a thing called Fight Night. It's kind of like a WWE-inspired Hearthstone event. And I'm one of the players that is featured and gets to play against other people and smack talk them or something. I don't know. But we get to play, like, we'll be playing, like, on the big screen or something like that. So I think that would be kind of fun. If you want to come check that out, just head over to kcfiresides.com to get your ticket for that. But other than that, I've just been, I bought a bunch of new sound equipment. If you're listening and you think this sounds awful, please let me know. Hopefully it doesn't. But just email walmed@blisspro.com if you have any comments about our sound. I'm hoping that everything came together okay and that everything sounds okay. So anyway, do you guys want to get into the news?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Let's do it.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So the first news that came up, we just got it this morning. BlizzCon has been officially announced. November 2nd and 3rd, first weekend of November, like it has been for the last several years now. Probably the big news for Hearthstone out of that is the Hearthstone Global Games Finals will be taking place at BlizzCon this year. So,
nice.
I know I plan on going to BlizzCon this year. Ray, I think you're deciding to go at some point, right?
I don't know. I had to hang out with you last year, and I don't know if I can bear that again.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Danny, how about you?
I'm going to try to see if I can make it this year. Depends on my schedule, though, but I'll most certainly try to be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. That was a joke.
No, I was taking you for dead serious because listen, Ray, I'm an older guy. I have dated a lot in the past before, and I'm pretty used to that kind of rejection after the first time hanging out with someone. So,
okay. Interesting.
Anyway, but no, if you want to buy tickets, the first wave goes on sale Wednesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight's Time. Sale number 2 takes place Saturday, May 12th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And if you want to buy the BlizzCon benefit dinner ticket sale, that happens on May 16th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So there's a couple different ways that you can buy tickets. And then, of course, the benefit dinner ticket sale. If you've ever had a chance to try to do, it's pretty expensive, but it goes to a really good cause, and it's actually a really cool event. I've never actually personally been there, but I know people that have, and they talk very highly of it.
Nice. There's one more tidbit of news that I wanted to mention is that the top 64 got released, the standings, and your boy made prelims or playoffs. So
yeah,
really hyped for that.
Yeah, when do you get to play that? Do you know?
It's next month. It's the second weekend of May.
Is that going to be streamed or is it just?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, it's like the biggest tour. That's like the how you qualify for Worlds. Because if you win that tournament.
Do you all go to, like, the same location, or is it one of those that you got to go to, like, Buffalo Wild Wings to go play?
No, they changed it to, it has to be a land center, and ours for the East Coast is the Cave in Virginia.
Okay, okay. So no Buffalo Wild Wings this year.
Thank God. No.
Would you like some chicken wings with that concede there?
Oh my God. Would you like some chicken wings with that Wi-Fi? Oh wait, we're all out of Wi-Fi. Sorry, sir.
Got plenty of chicken wings though. Won't be running out of those.
I hope not.
But the other thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, Ray, you got to interview Ben Brode. You were there with Steven Stewart, who is part of our Diablo team, who actually used to be on the Hearth Pro show, which preceded WellMet. So he does have some Hearthstone experience from the very early days. You guys talked about quite a bit, though. There's a lot of, you had a lot of balance questions in there.
I did, and I'm surprised that he answered them the way that he did.
He was very honest.
I didn't expect that.
He was very honest and transparent.
I didn't expect that, and I was very happy with how that interview went. And I believe there's an article, you transcribed it.
Yeah, if you head over to HearthstoneUpBlitzPro.com, I transcribed the whole thing. The audio quality wasn't good, so we just made it into an article.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear every single thing that was said, you can read the article. But basically, the balance stuff that we talked about was they made mistakes, they're aware of it, and they're trying their best to keep the game as fun as possible.
Right. I think the interesting one was you were asking something about Corridor Creeper. And you're like, Corridor Creeper, did you guys expect that to happen with the card? And Ben Brode's like, no, we didn't get that one right. He's like, sometimes we just miss on cards. He's like, that one had the biggest percentage of nerfs that we've ever done. Because, you know, we had to change a number by 3 instead of like 1 or something like that. And he goes, I think that just because of how off, like how big of a change that was, it just shows how off the mark we were on knowing how good that card was going to be. He just flat out said that. He's like, no, that was our mistake. We just missed it.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I thought that they would, or I thought that he would try to avoid those, like sidestep those questions, which is not what happened at all. Like, pretty sure he answered every single one of my questions and didn't actually give like a runaround answer. They were all like very real answers.
Yep.
Even the question about like how they would balance Hearthstone, is there like they try to do both, but they end up balancing for the top percentage more now.
Right. I thought that was a really good example that he gave on there when he was talking about ways of balancing for like the casual players. And he said like in the early days, Hunter was like real, like way at the beginning of the ladder in Hearthstone. Hunter was really, really good at like rank 20, but wasn't good at the high ends of the ladder. And he wanted to nerf something on, he wanted to be able to nerf Hunter a little bit on that lower rank. And he said that the way that you do that is by designing a card that is hard for bad players to play, but good players will play it correctly. And he said that the card that they designed in that way was Unleash the Hounds, in the way that that was designed now. Because bad players may not understand the right use of using that card. And because of that, Hunter took a hit because bad players that, you know, not use the term bad players, but players at rank 20 might have that card and aren't using it properly and now are, you know, losing a little more often because they're misplaying.
Yeah. It was just really cool to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially from the man himself.
Yeah.
The Witchwoods. Nice to see... Oops, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that it was nice to see you ask some questions about Wild as well.
Yeah, yeah. You can talk about those ones if you want.
Yeah, sure. So you asked about nerfing Wild cards, and then he called out how they had nerfed Dreadsteed in the past. And he said that due to that, like, they would be down to nerf specifically Wild cards. Mm-hmm. So that's reassuring.
Yeah, and he did say, like, Patches and Raza were basically Wild nerfs, even though they happened in Standard. But they happened, like, really late in the Standard rotation. That they were, it was primarily for, Wild to not have those cards be that prevalent in Wild any longer.
Yeah, for the longevity of the format.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exciting to hear. And then the Witchwood questions I asked were, like, pretty generic, like, curiosity questions. Like, why is there no theme to... Like, why is there no legendary theme like there was in every set last year? We had the Death Knights, we had the quests, we had the legendary weapons, but then in the Witchwood, we didn't have anything that was super thematic, but the theme of the Witchwood, basically what he said was not every set needs to have a theme, and the theme of the Witchwood is the Hagatha, like the set revolves around Hagatha, the Worgen cards that switch their stats as a theme, and then what was the other thing you said about the Witchwood?
The odds and even, so you had Rush, you had Echo, you had the odds and even cards, I mean, you had the Worgen cards, and just kind of the whole, like, so you had he kind of said, like, the set just had a lot of stuff in it, as far mm-hmm. as, like, different themes behind it.
Right, so it didn't need that one
right
major overarching theme, it was fine by itself, and he said that, like, that didn't indicate that they won't do that kind of thing again. It just means that the Witchwood didn't need it because he felt like it was fine the way it is.
Yeah, I think he said, like, it's very, like, set specific on if they do that or not. If a set comes around that they think that, you know, this card needs a legendary cycle, like the weapons or the heroes or something like that, then mm-hmm. it makes sense for that set to have it, but not all sets. Apparently, not all sets have to have that. And I do think the Witchwood and the lore behind it kind of does set itself apart. The one thing that I thought was really funny in the interview was when he was asking you who the, like, because we're talking about the theme, and you're talking about Hagatha, and he said that Hagatha is the you know, it was just purely a lore thing on, they wanted her to be like the badass villain of the set. And, because every set kind of has that character that the set revolves around. And he asked you who is the one in, Goblins versus Gnomes. And you're just sitting there like, I don't know, like Sneed's Old Shredder. And he's like, he was expecting you to say like Dr. Boom, but Dr. Boom wasn't it. It was like, It was the Mechandir Thermoplug, the guy who summons the leper gnomes when your enemy minions die. That was the main character in Goblins versus Gnomes, and I would have never realized that if he hadn't said that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even remember what that card did.
Right, and that was his point. That was his point on why Hagatha became the hero card for this set, so that people, you know, have that image of who the set is actually revolved around.
Yeah, they want every set to have an obvious identity and, like, story, so to say. Whereas before, in the past, they might not have had that, like, with the Mechatir Thermoplug being the center of the Goblins vs. Gnomes and nobody knowing it.
Right.
Right. Like, he mentioned, it was kind of, like, similar to what you said with Darius Crowley. He said that about Dr. Boom, where Dr. Boom was kind of an irrelevant, like, what is the phrase for MMOs?
NPC.
Yeah, he was, like, a kind of an irrelevant NPC, but now he's, like, a legendary Hearthstone card.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to do that anymore, make random. Although, ironically, you were upset about what they just did.
right. But they did it with a WoW NPC that was actually pretty cool, and they made him not as cool in Hearthstone. And that's sad.
Yeah, but they're trying to make the connect, like, Hagatha is important, so they're going to make the card good.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of thing. That's going to be interesting.
Yep.
So all the main themes of the set are going to be powerful cards, so that way you know that that is what your set is going to be focused around. Those are the main characters.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I thought that was a really good interview. I really enjoyed writing that out for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed getting to do it, so thank you guys a lot for doing that, and everybody who listens, like, played a role in me getting to have that moment with Ben, so shout-outs to everyone. That was awesome.
But yeah, if you want to read the rest of the interview, just head over to hearthstone.blitzpro.com, and you'll see it's like the exclusive Ben Brode interview, and Ray's face is on it. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the last piece of news we had today that we're going to get into is we had the final reveal.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch it at all?
Did we what?
Did you watch it at all?
I was traveling back home today.
I was at work, so I didn't get to watch that. It either.
Yeah, and then when I got home, Tempo Storm hit me up, and they were like, hey, want to do this card review? And I was like, yes, but I can't go past, like, our recording time. So I ended up doing, like, probably, like, 3/4 of a card review with the Tempo Storm team today, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, familiar with what everything does.
Yeah, I've gotten to see all the cards. I just didn't get to see the actual, like, Ben Brode in Day 9 live stream.
Yeah. I didn't get to see it either, but I've heard it went on really, really long for the first game. I heard that they played an incredibly grindy match with Hagatha.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch it after we're done here. But we have gotten to see all of the cards now. If you head over to HearthstoneBlitzPro.com, we do have the spoiler list there. It has all 135 cards that have been revealed. There have been... Today we're just going to go over the legendaries that we haven't gone over yet. The legendaries have been revealed this past week. I think there's 8 of those. So let's just jump into that. So the first one we had, there's 2 new Druid legendaries. And the first one was Duskfallen Aviana. And that one is, I need to scroll up real quick. I didn't have it right there on my screen. Duskfallen Aviana is a 5 mana... 3/7 minion, so 3 attack, 7 health. The first card each player plays each turn costs 0. Yeah, that's a card.
It's an interesting one. Do you want to start, or do you...
Ray, you can let us know about this card.
Oh, baby. Yeah, so this card is super interesting because it's... a combo card, right? Like, anything that has this kind of effect. Aviana originally was built with combos in mind. Like, any deck that she was in was generally a combo deck. I think this is going to be in the same vein. However, this card lets your opponent play a card for 0 first, which means most likely Duskfallen Aviana is going to die. Or she's going to die while also allowing your opponent to play their giant dude first, which isn't good.
Right.
So, like, if you got to play... If Duskfallen Aviana read differently, where you got to play a minion for 0, like, as the first minion for your turn or something like that, you know what I mean? So you get some value out of her, then she'd be good. But the way she's worded now, I think... it's just not good because your opponent gets the initiative and gets to use it first.
Yep.
There is one situation that I see this being good. If you're playing a controlling druid deck and you're playing against aggro, typically maybe turn 10 or so, your opponent's running on fumes. And if you drop a Duskfallen Aviana, like, and they have a 2/2 drops in their hand, it's not going to matter if your opponent's minion costs 0. So, like, at that point, like, I don't know. There are some other better cards that you can play to stabilize, but if you're playing in that specific matchup and you're using some of the like druid control tools of like spreading plague and branching paths, you could maybe make a situation where you put this in a deck against aggro because you can then like sneak out a UI the next turn.
To me, it reminds me more of like Temporis, where you can play it in any match. You can play it in certain positions, like even against control, you could play Duskfunnel Aviana if you notice that they're just kind of not playing things, right? So maybe you can put them in a position where they have to answer Duskfall and Aviana or immediately lose the game, similar to Temporis, where they have to kill you or just die.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I don't know. We'll have to see, but I think it's a pretty weak card. What do you think, JR?
I plan on never playing it. That's my review.
Same. To be honest.
Same here.
To be honest.
Yeah. No, it's just one of those, like everything you guys said, I 100% agree with. It's just it reminds me of the priest card from last set where it just benefits your opponent way too much, or Millhouse Mana Storm or any of those kind of cards where it just benefits your opponent way too much that it's just going to lose you the game. And that's just not a good card that you really want to play unless you find some really broken way of playing it, but I don't see it. So the next card we had was Splintergraft, which was an 8-mana, 8/8. With a battle cry, choose a friendly minion, add a 10/10 copy to your hand that costs 10. Danny, what do you think about this card?
Oh, it's definitely an interesting effect. It seems really cool. Like, maybe you could play around with, like, big attack. I mean, it would be cool if this was a Hunter and you made it like that minion that could do damage based off of how much, like, attack it has. But it's not Hunter. I really can't think of anything that, like, a Faceless Manipulator or something would be better than this. Like, people were, like, theorizing Maligos combos or, like, Stone Tusk Boar combos, but I really can't think of anything.
I mean, a 10/10 charge is pretty good.
But for 10 mana, it's, like, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Well, you gotta set it up.
Yeah. But
I'm pretty sure it's just bad. I don't know, though. There might be some type of broken combo with it, but it just doesn't really feel like there is.
I'm not like super excited about this card. I just see a 10/10 charge as not that bad of a deal. Depending on the thing is like what deck does it go in though? Like, because if you're playing aggro at that point, yeah, and you need like a 10/10 finisher, you're not going to play this in your aggro deck, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you'll be playing Stone Tusk Boar probably already, but hopefully your opponent's dead by turn 8, and then they're going to see it coming on turn 10, because it's not like it's a secret. It's not like your opponent's going to forget that you copied that charge minion.
Yeah, I don't know. If your opponent's getting a Void Lord out on turn 5, I'm not too happy about this on turn 8 into turn 10.
Yeah, that's pretty true. So Druid kind of, their legendaries weren't very good this set. So Mage, let's move on to Mage. Mage had a couple of interesting cards. The first one is a 2-mana 2/2 Archmage Erigal. Whenever you draw a minion, add a copy of it to your hand. So you want to play a mage. You want to play a mage deck that doesn't play spells, and you want to play a hunter deck that doesn't play minions. Right? Is that it, right?
I don't understand this card. I mean, I'm comparing it with other cards that are 2-mana, 2/2 legendaries, and, you know, he's just fallen real short. Like that other one that buffs all the cards in your deck by +1/+1. That one's pretty good. Obviously, this is different. I think this is more of a combo card, right? So say you're playing Quest Mage, and you play this card, and then you play Arcane Intellect. If you hit Sorcerer's Apprentice, you probably just, like, that's a huge deal, right? It feels like it just infinitely worse than something like Simulacrum if you're trying to go for a combo aspect. There is some synergy with this card in some sense, where there's a mage spell that says draw 3 cards, discard any spells, and there's a lot of new elementals. So there, people are thinking that they're going to play Archmage Arugula with, not Arugula, I call it Archmage Arugula because that's what it looks like. So you play this Archmage, you play the 2-mana spell that draws 3 minions, and then your deck is like an elemental minion deck. So this card kind of slots into that pretty nicely, just because it's very minion heavy.
Ooh, do you think you could make this like a Spiteful Mage?
Well, it plays the 2-mana card. The spell true. It plays is the 2-mana one. I guess you could still make a Spiteful deck and hope that you don't low roll.
Put a Pyroblast at the top.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
What do you guys think of this Archmage Arugula?
Arugula. I mean, is arugula a vegetable?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. So the Archmage vegetable here. I think it would be fun to make, like, if there was any style of tempo mage, like, I could see it being used in something like that. Because you want to play, the thing that kind of confused me about it is because it's an even card. So if you wanted to play odd mage, it's going to be weird. And then if you want to play even mage, you probably want to use a lot of spells. I don't know. I think it has to go in a very special deck. It's kind of a build around card.
Yeah, definitely is. And it can't be played with Prince Kaliseth.
Right.
There is an interesting wild application. If you're playing Reno Mage, like, there are some threats that you typically play in Reno Mage that are significantly more important to deal with. So I can see you slotting this into like a Reno Mage list, especially because you're playing like 30 one-ofs. And if you play this in combination with something that draws draws, it doesn't really matter if it like misses or whatever. It's the occasions where you get like a double Kazakus or like a double like Reno or something where it really stands out. So I expect this to be slotted into Reno Mage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Elemental Mage on Standard, and like Ray said earlier, is a possibility, but any kind of tempo mage or shenanigans with Quest Mage. But yeah, I think you're going to see it in a Trolden video at some point.
It's definitely true.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the other mage card, and this is my favorite card of the set, and I don't care what you guys say, but it's Toki Time Tinker. She is a 6-mana 5/5 with the battle cry, add a random legendary minion from the past to your hand. And what that means is that card, that past legendary, means that card is exclusive to wild.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be pulling Danny. Yeah, you're going to be pulling Danny Donuts from your hand. A random Danny Donuts card.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
You should win that one every time.
But yeah, you asked Ben Brode about this one. What'd you ask him?
We asked him what happens when Toki Time Tinker moves to wild. Will you get a chance to get a copy of herself? And that question isn't really an exciting one, you would think, but what's exciting is that his answer was really interesting, because Toki Time Tinker is a hero that you can pick in what is
the Monster Hunt.
The Monster Hunt. and the boss, the final boss, if you pick Toki, is she battles herself from the future.
Yep.
She has to defeat her evil self from the future. So Ben Brode said that they could, that you would most likely be able to get her once she moves to Wild off of herself because of that, even though it's kind of a paradox. But I'm hoping they do something kind of special with that, if you like some type of voiceover, something like that, you know, or like alternate art Toki. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that would be pretty sweet. I just want to know, and I really wanted to ask this during your Ben Brode interview. I should have worded it a little bit better, because his answer would have been he wouldn't know, I think, at this point. But I want to know if when she goes to Wild and there's cards after her that go to Wild, if those cards are still counted as being in the past, because it's no longer in the past to her. Because could she pull cards from future sets when they rotate to Wild as well?
Whoa.
We only got to wait 3 years to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think his answer would have been, you'll find out 3 years from now.
Probably.
But Toki, it's actually a pretty cool card. I don't know. I don't think it will actually see any play, to be honest.
I will play it.
It's really interesting. I have the spreadsheet where people put all of the Wild legendaries on it. And it's really interesting. There's like a 30% chance of the card being quote-unquote good, and then like a 60% chance that it's playable. As according to these guys, I think it's Wickets and a couple other guys who put this together. So it's interesting to see those stat lines.
I mean, look at all the cards that got moved into like the Hall of Fame, right? Those are now included in this as well. So you can get Sylvanas, you can get Ragnaros, and then you can get Lotheb, you can get Dr. Boom,
Sneeds.
You
could also get Patches.
You could also get Patches.
But is it pre-nerfed? How far in the past are we going?
Does it matter because it's in your hand?
Yes, because
it would still have charge.
If I get a Patches with charge, that's way better than a Patches that's not in charge.
That's true. You're gonna get a Patches that's not gonna be in charge.
I know. Why can't you let me live my dreams?
I like this card. It's one of the. It's a meme card that I'm gonna play with, and I think it's one of those meme cards that is gonna find play. I really think so.
I underestimate value cards a lot, so maybe in the future it'll see play because it'll just be a good value card.
Right. Maybe people find out that you have like a 50% chance to pull Ragnaros.
They coded it in raw.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
It would be. You get a 50% chance of it being Ragnaros and a 50% chance of it being Patches.
Oh my god.
And then another high roll card of all time.
And then another 50-50 on whether it's charged or not. All right. Want to move on to the next one, the Paladin Paladin cards?
Yeah. Tell us about the Paladin cards, Ray.
All right. So the first one we have is called, let's see. Is it? It says.
I wrote down the wrong one. So it's actually the Glass Knight.
Yeah, I was super confused.
It's the Glass Knight.
It's the Glass Knight.
Yeah, the Glass Knight. That's what I thought, but I looked at the notes and it was not the Glass Knight. And I was like, did I miss something on the reveal?
Nope, I wrote it down. I wrote down the wrong one.
Okay, so the Glass Knight is a 4-mana, 4/3 Divine Shield that says, whenever you restore health, gain Divine Shield. What do you think about this card, Danny?
Well, it's interesting. So, like, this is the stat line that Piloted Shredder has. I can tell you from a wild perspective, Piloted Shredder is not consistent enough to run in Paladin at the moment. But I think that in Standard, Piloted Shredder would definitely be good enough. The question is, can you revive the Divine Shields? And so, like, what is a healing card that... Like, what healing cards do you play with this? Do you play True Silver? But then you're not playing the, what is it? The three weapon. I don't know what that's called. The Rallying Blade?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, so I don't know what life, maybe you have to start experimenting around with the Lifesteal cards.
I don't know, man. I think that the stat line is pretty solid. A 4/3 with Divine Shield. The C'Thun card, the 4/2 with Divine Shield, was never felt like it was terrible, but it's obviously not good enough to play on its own. So I think that this card is on the brink of being playable, but I don't really think it's there yet, just from racking my brain around what cards you can actually play with it to try to regenerate the Divine Shields.
Yeah, especially like where Paladin is at right now. Like, what Paladin is losing isn't really much, right? Like, I'm trying to think what Paladin's losing, and, like...
Murlocs, mostly.
Right.
But, that, like, dude Paladin stays around.
Right. And that's still going to be, like, really popular. That seems like what people are going to gravitate to. So, it's... I think it's one of those cards that, like, what Ray was saying, where, like it's a playable stat line, and maybe we'll see it later. Like, maybe we won't see it in this set as playable. Maybe we're gonna see it like next year as playable.
Yeah, I can definitely see this card becoming playable in the future, but right now it feels like it's not gonna see too much play. Yeah, want to move on to the next Paladin card?
Yeah. So the next one we had is Prince Liam. He's a 5-mana, 5/5 With a battle cry, transform all one cost cards in your deck into legendary minions. What, Ray?
Oh, man.
This card's super interesting because you want to play it with a lot of one cost cards, which means it's encouraging you to play the Bellringer, which is a poor man's mysterious challenger. It's a 4-mana, 3/4 that says battle cry, death rattle, put a secret into play. But at the same time, it's like, if you're pulling your secrets, it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to rack my brain around like where this card would be good. And it seems like it'd be good in that kind of deck just because you already have a lot of one drops. But the fact that it's only cards in your deck really makes me sad. If it was in your deck and your hand, I think it would be playable because then you could have the downside of drawing the secrets. And this could be something that kind of bounces you back into it resource-wise when you draw your secrets. But since it's only from your deck, it's just, like, so weird. Because now you're just drawing potentially random bad legendaries instead of, I don't know, secrets, which are also bad. But sometimes a random legendary can just be worse.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, No, I read this card and I'm just like, huh. I don't know if I would play it. Like, it's just one of those things where, it reminds me of Elise, the original Elise, where you played that deck in like a control warrior, and the only time that you really wanted like your cards to become legendaries at that point was because your answers at that late game like didn't matter at that late game, and it became, I just want to get some minions on the board and hope to maybe get some big minions as my legendary minions, right? Whereas this one feels like I'm gonna be playing sort of an aggro style deck, maybe dude paladin style. But if I'm going to that late game, like, I feel like on turn five, if I'm turning all my, one cost into legendary minions that I might be drawing, like, some of my synergy is going to be gone with, like, Call to Arms. Like, it's not going to work at that point. I guess I could divine favor into a handful of legendaries, but is that really the play that I want to do? I don't know.
This is such a weird card, and my gut is telling me that it's just going to be a bad legendary because it has no real place in the metagame right now. But maybe in the future, or maybe even right now, it's hard to say without testing, like, it'll be a card you play just to have a chance in certain matchups that were otherwise unwinnable.
Right.
I don't know what those matchups are, because I don't even know what the deck is. But I feel like that's the place where it will become useful.
Yeah. Yep. So, moving on, we had one rogue legendary that was revealed this last week. She is an 8-mana 6/6 called Tess Greymane. Battlecry, replay every card from another class you've played this game. Targets chosen randomly. So if you burgle any cards and you play them, this is basically like Yogg at the end, where you're going to play it and then you're going to cast all these, and these aren't just spells. These are like minions or heroes or any cards that you played from another class.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this card's kind of bonkers to me. Like, I think this card has potential to be really good and also not.
Yeah, it reminds me of N'Zoth in a sense, because a lot of the times it brings back like a board of minions. So, and you have to build your deck around having it be able to work. So it like reminds me of N'Zoth in the sense that it like brings back a bunch of stuff and you have to build your deck around it. But it's also random, which makes it not broken and potentially not playable. Which might sound weird, because in your head you think, oh my god, it does all this stuff. But keep in mind that half of the cards that you're going to be playing, it's going to take a while to burgle the cards. It's going to take longer to play the cards. And then the cards have to not suck that you're playing.
Right.
One thing that I find really interesting is that if this card is incredibly broken, let's just say that it's amazing, then everyone's going to be playing Rogue. If you're playing Rogue against another Rogue and you're burgling cards, those cards aren't from another class. So card completely goes out the window in a mirror.
I did not even think hilarious. About that. That is hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're playing against other Rogues, this card is completely worthless. Unless you find a way to grab cards from another class somehow.
Cabal Courier, or whatever it is.
Right.
Like those kind of cards. The tri-class cards.
Right, the ones that are rotating out.
Oh, I was so close.
So close.
Oh, so close, JR. It was so close.
You were close. Unfortunately, those are rotating out. I think it's a cool design. It's not like broke. It doesn't feel like it's broken like Yogg. But it still has that kind of feel to it. But then again, I remember being told a long, long time ago, not from you guys, because you guys weren't on the show yet, when we first talked about Yogg, on how that card was never going to see play. So, and yet here we are.
You guys missed the boat on that one.
And yet here we are. So the final one is the final Shaman legendary that we saw, has the coolest artwork of the entire set, in my opinion, and also the coolest name, in my opinion. It's a 9-mana 6/6 Shudderwalk. Battlecry, repeat all other battlecries from cards you played this game. Targets chosen randomly. Both of you guys seem very excited about this card, so Danny, I'm going to start with you.
This is probably my favorite card of the entire set. Like, being this is like Yogg on steroids. Like, battle cries are typically really powerful when you put them in your deck, and you can build a deck completely around battle cries. So, I mean, there was a tier like 4 or 5 wild deck for a while that like revolved around Rumbling Elemental, where you would just play a bunch of really powerful battle cries on understated minions. You'd get the Rumbling Elemental to shoot off 2 damage every single time that you'd play a battle cry, and then you just evolve your board from the really understated minions into like really good statted minions. And like, this is the perfect top end for that deck. I am super excited to try this out and make that deck like a reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ray.
This is my favorite card in the set by a mile. I'm not going to lie. This is my favorite card in the set. It's so cool. I saw this card during my interview with Ben Brode, and I was just happy. like, it's the coolest card. It's also pretty, it's like skill-based in the sense that like you have to build your deck to be good with it, and it can be the best card in the game if you build your deck correctly. And, it can do everything.
Yeah,
like, it can clear boards with Primordial Drake. It can draw you a bunch of cards with whatever. I don't know. It could do everything.
And it's really cool how some of the battle cries like interact. Like, they played Serenite Chain Gang in the live stream, and the Chain Gang copies, not you don't just summon a Chain Gang copy, you summon a copy of Shudderwalk. So that was really cool too. So like, the battle cries act as if Shudderwalk is putting it on itself.
Interesting.
Yeah. Corpse Taker says, if you have Battlecry, if you have like Divine Shield minion in your deck, you get a Divine Shield, blah blah blah. So it would be the same with that. So if like Corpse Taker triggers, then you have a Divine Shield Windfuried taunted Shudderwalker that you then that then copies itself because he played Serenite Chain Gang. Like, this is gonna be nuts. It's gonna be hilarious.
And I'm this excited. Is also gonna pop off with your hero cards too, because they have Battlecries. So you'll get the, like, if you played like Hagatha before, you're gonna deal 3 damage to all minions.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Imagine Reno. Imagine if you're playing a Reno Shaman. This is a full Reno heal.
Yeah. So I want to know, how does this work with Bran Bronzebeard?
Oh my god. I think the greater question is, when it dies, do the effects stop? If it dies during, it's like.
Oh, whatever. That's how it works with Yogg, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine.
But that wasn't the initial thing with Yogg, though.
No,
Yogg initially went on forever.
Right, right.
Because I'm curious, what happens if you have played Yogg? What if you're playing Spell Shaman? And you go, Yogg, and then you go this. Do you Yogg twice? Does it stop when it dies? What happens?
You'll have to find out. You'll have to test it out, Ray. You have to find out. Or you can just tweet at Ben Brode and ask him.
It's too much effort.
And Yogg's also rotating the wild.
I'll wait till Disguised Toast does it.
Yeah, he'll put out a video pretty soon that will explain it all, and you'll be like, yeah. Yep, that's what I was wondering if that would happen. Thanks, Toast.
Yep, I'll be like, yep, been waiting for this one. Appreciate it, bruh. It's actually crazy how big Toast has gotten. I was hanging out with him this weekend, and it's just insane from like how it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's gotten so much bigger. Like, obviously he's become like a huge star, but like all the people in general, it's just so cool to see that happen.
Yeah. So that's all of the legendary cards. So looking over this set, what do you guys think? Like, who got the most help, like, class-wise?
Shaman!
Oh, yeah. Shaman's big time.
It's, like, not even close. I still think Warlock is going to be the best class or the second best class, but they didn't really get that many cards. They just got Lord Godfrey.
They didn't need any cards.
But
they still got some.
I don't think that the other classes got enough good cards that anything can really contest it, except for Shaman. And maybe Priest. I think it goes Shaman and Priest. Those are the two classes that got the most. And then everything else is just feels so mediocre. Warrior is probably the third. Shaman, Priest, and then Warrior. Everything else...
Yeah, Warrior got a lot of rush stuff.
Yeah.
They also got Baku. Baku's going to be cool for Control Warrior stuff.
Tank up.
Yep. So, what's going to be the worst class when everything rotates?
I'm going to say Druid.
I was about to say Druid, too. Druid kind of sucks.
Yeah, there's nothing... you could base a deck around Jades. You could base a deck... I mean, you still have some ramp cards, so maybe you could make some sort of big Druid, but you got to really go into the weeds to dig out some good cards for that.
Yeah, because I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at all these classes, and I'm like, okay, Hunter, there's a decent face Hunter deck, that's going to be coming out of this rotation. I'm looking at Mage, and I'm thinking, well, Secret Mage and like Big Spell Mage and stuff like that, still probably going to be pretty good, and do all right. I'm looking at Paladin and just realizing that dude, Paladin and those variations are still just going to be as good as they've been. I look at Priest, and it looks like Priest has a bunch of new tools that they're going to be able to add to their arsenal. Rogue feels like maybe the second worst. I don't know. Rogue's identity is still kind of weird, where you can still... I don't even know what people are playing in Rogue right now. I don't even remember the last time I ran into a Rogue in Ladder. Temporal Rogue, I guess. But yeah, Shaman's going to have some cool stuff, and Warlock's just going to be all powerful. And Warrior's going to go...
Druid Rogue.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say about Druid is that a lot of the cards in Druid are synergistic with themselves. And that's one of the things that we definitely downplayed when we were looking at last expansion in Warlock. Because we were like, oh, there's no chance that the Warlock weapon and Void Lord and then the Lackey are going to be good together, right? It's going to be so situational. So we definitely said that last time. So I want to play devil's advocate and say that, I mean, while these Druid cards look really bad individually, there is... an inkling that they could combine together and be a powerful deck. So I don't know how powerful, but they have the potential of being something.
So Danny is predicting Captain Planet Druid.
Danny, I'm going to hold you to that, man. Druid.
All right. Druid time.
Druid right, for 2020. Danny Donut supports.
Captain Planet Druid. You know what?
I'm going to go for it. This is my hot take here. Druid is not going to be as bad as everyone's saying. Even though I still think it's going to be bad, I'm going to put it out there that it's not going to be bad.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been wrong too many times. It's time to put my faith in what's always treated me well, donuts. Until I have a heart attack. Then I won't trust you anymore.
Anything else you guys want to talk about on this set before we head out?
I believe you said we had an email, maybe?
Yeah, I was just wondering about this set first.
No, I think we kind of covered it. It launches Thursday. It's crazy, right? It doesn't feel like the Witchwood is coming out this week, but it is. So I'm just excited to get my hands on it, play probably way too many games, and then talk about it next week.
Yeah. Yep. So moving on then, we did have an email from Wesley. I've already answered this email to him, But he asked, just started listening to you guys about a month ago and loving it so far. Recently, I've been getting your theme song stuck in my head randomly, and I was wondering if there's a full version of it online somewhere I could listen to. Keep up the good work. Yeah, and the reason why I wanted to answer this email, I already sent him the link, is because this question does come up every once in a while, and I'm sure that you guys are kind of curious on where we've gotten our music from. At the end of the show, you'll remember we normally do a shout-out to Jake Butteno. He is the guy that does all of the music and sounds for our show. His last name is spelled B-U-T-I-N-E-A-U, and he has a SoundCloud account out there. So if you do like a Google search for SoundCloud, Well Met theme song, I believe that will come up. But let me verify that because I didn't bother looking. But if you can't do that, then just go look at our show notes. I'm going to include the link in there. So I'm curious if this will come up on a Google search. Let me look real quick. It's not in the top. Okay. So anyway, go to our show notes and I will have a link there. As my chair almost breaks behind me. Did you guys hear that? That was loud.
I did. I know the sound of a chair breaking.
Yeah. I like shifted and all of a sudden it didn't break, but man, it sounded like it did.
Thick boy problems.
Pretty much. But yeah, Danny, what about our Patreon?
Yeah, so we have a Patreon. If you guys want to donate to the show, we always take donations. We love it. You can find us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And your money goes to doing things for the show. It goes right back into the show. So I don't know if you like our show, just your money's making it better.
Also, don't forget, if you are a tier $30 patron, that you get a coaching session with me or JR or Danny, but I mean, let's be honest. Come on.
Mostly Ray.
Mostly Ray. Mostly Ray.
I'm kidding. Give me with whoever you want.
Yeah, definitely. So the way that works is you'll go out to Patreon. You'll pledge $30 at the end of the month. That's when those charges take place. So at the beginning of the month, I will send out an email, and anybody that is in that $30 tier will get that coaching session. Going forward, anybody that is a Patreon will be raffled into this as well. So if you just donate $1, you'll have a chance at getting that coaching session with Ray.
That's value.
That is value.
You're literally paying me $1 per hour. That's just good value.
That's true. You'll be paying him more than what I pay Ray for an hour. So talk about real value there.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
So iTunes reviews. We didn't have any new iTunes reviews this week. However, if you want to give us an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes, type in Well Met when you do, or Hearthstone when you do a search for podcasts. You'll see Well Met there. If you leave a 5-star review, we will give you a shout out on the next show and mispronounce your name or be nice to you, I guess. Is that how that works?
No, I don't think so. I mean, for you, maybe, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. So shout outs. Danny, do you have any shout outs this week?
I do. I'm going to be a bit cryptic with this because I don't know when the show is going to be released and when something's coming out. But I want to give a shout out to Team One Trick. You guys might not know what that is, but you'll see later this week.
Show will probably be out tomorrow, by the way. So
so good.
Ray, any shout outs for you? Or also, Danny, where can the people find you real quick?
Oh yeah, you can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS, and you can find me at Twitch at DannyDonuts45, and I'm going to be streaming a lot when this new expansion hits, as is a lot of people, I bet.
Yeah, you and everybody else on Twitch.
Yep.
Oh boy, I'm excited.
So Ray, do you have any shout outs, and where can people find you?
Shout out to everybody listening and BlizzPro for being able to make that Ben Brode interview happen, because that was a dream come true. It was
I'm
so
glad
much
you
fun
enjoyed that.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
What?
I said I'm glad you enjoyed that.
So. I mean, you could probably tell when you were listening to it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just fun. I was super into it.
Yeah. And I just wanted to give a shout out to you on just the questions that you asked. That was it ended up coming out to being a very good interview. I think me, you, Danny, and Steven, and a Hearthstone tech deck, and a couple other BlizzPro people kind of put in a bunch of questions. We didn't get them all answered, but I got my one Korean barbecue question answered, so I was happy with that.
Nice. If you want to see any pictures from that interview with Ben Brode, check out my Twitter at PG_race. Yeah, some pretty cool pictures from this weekend at PAX East. And once the Witchwood comes out, I'm going to be tweeting deck lists like nonstop.
Yeah. I just wanted to give a shout out to the Daring Reporter for that interview they did with us last week. That was really cool to invite us over to that. Give a shout out to Casey Firesides for inviting me to the Fight Night thing that they're doing later this month. And I hope that you guys come and check that out here in Kansas City. And you can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. Thanks for joining us for episode 148 of Well Met. We record normally every Sunday night around 7 p.m. Pacific time. This ended up being Monday just because of the way things worked out. We're going to start live streaming again soon. Now that I have everything set up, I'm hoping next week is when we start doing live streaming again. I've been saying that for a few weeks, but I feel pretty confident about it right now. I just got a couple more things to get set up. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can tweet at us at WellMet Podcast, email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for this show. Once again, thanks to Jake Butteneau for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.